Welcome back here, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That's our worldwide web headquarters. You can enjoy us there with a backstage pass, watch our video, listen to over 4,500 hours of archived radio shows going back over a decade, covering all kinds of periods of American, of contemporary American times, and all with the satirical approach and that we've taken over the years that has baffled and befuddled and delighted millions. All right. Here's a news story that I thought was kind of cool. We're going to get back to the Twinkie thing, man, but let's take a break, okay?
Well, what do you want to go back to the Twinkie thing for, Phil? It was a disaster.
Yeah, that guy's a pillhead.
He might have been a pillhead. We're talking about Raj Fanin, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to bail on the story.
Well, I don't know that the story has any legs now as a result of the that demonstration by that man, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Well, you don't know how to feel about it because you were all ready to be all kissy-poo. With the Palestinian cause.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's true. You thought you had, like, a solidarity and everything.
I am in solidarity with the righteousness of the Palestinian movement. Okay? What are you smiling at?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, no rich lady does.
No rich lady does. Are you listening to the swill that pours out of its face? Are you feeding him that?
I'm not feeding him anything.
Well, where does he get that?
Where does he get what?
Where does he get the idea that the rich lady can't have solidarity with the righteousness of the, what is it, I don't know what they call themselves now, but it was the PLO, wasn't it?
Are you talking about the Palestinian people?
Yes.
Well, it's, I don't know if it's whether, what difference, no, it ain't the PLO, it's Hamas, if you want to talk about organizations.
No, it's not Hamas, it's the Palestinian Liberation Organizations. All of them, whatever they are. And I have solidarity with the women, especially, who are forced to do their laundry in sewers, in toilets, basically. And they're forced to do their laundry there because there are no washing machines. There are no, what do they have?
But I don't know, like, what do they have, any of them scrub boards?
Yeah, what about those washboards?
What about those washboards? You think you're funny?
Well, Margaret, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're in a part of the world where there's a lot of oil money and there's a lot of solidarity. You're talking about your solidarity.
Solidarity? What are you nervous about?
I'm not nervous about anything. I think it's all the Turkish coffee. I think I'm more in solidarity with people from that part of the world by the fact that I'm drinking Turkish coffee tonight than anybody else.
Oh, really? Well, what part of the world is Turkey? That isn't the Middle East. That's Asia Minor.
What?
It's Asia Minor. It's the isn't it Crimea?
I don't know whether it's Asia Minor. Yeah, it's Asia Minor.
Well, what's Crimea?
Crimea's Evita. Remember that?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, Robert?
Crimea's. Don't cry me. Remember that? Don't cry for me, Argentina's with that one.
Oh, my God, is he an idiot.
Oh. You know something, Margaret? You're calling everybody an idiot around here. Nobody knows what it is you're talking about. You're in solidarity with the righteousness of the Palestinian women and da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, I get it. So you think I'm just a bourgeois woman. Is that it?
No, I'm not. If you are a bourgeois woman, I don't mean that as an affront or to insult you, but there is a reality to that. You know, over here in America, the way we live, the way we are, we're so far removed from that world, you know. I mean, I have to tip my cap to anybody that travels to that part of the world to try to learn something about it.
I was part of the human shield against the bombing of the Iraqis. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, and you were singing folk songs. And then in came the American missiles.
Yeah, and you were all laughing about that. Every time I was singing, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Bud and Robert don't remember that. You were too young. But I was in Iraq.
What are you crying for?
It was very traumatic.
Oh.
I was in Iraq. Oh, look at you. Oh, I see. So I'm making it all up, huh?
Well, Margaret, I mean, you know, you weren't exactly under a rain of bombs. A lot of that were just sound effects we were putting in.
How dare you tell people that, even if it is true? I was over there singing, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And the incoming scared me to death.
What's that song?
What?
Where are the flowers gone?
What did the flowers gone?
Woo!
Where have all the flowers gone, bud? It's an old folk song.
What's that mean?
It's the flowers are compared to young men who go off to war. Where have all the flowers gone? The young girls have picked them. Where have all the young men gone? They've gone off to war, you see.
What?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Are you saying like they died from VD?
Died from VD? What the hell has that got to do with anything?
What is he talking about?
Well, you're talking about where have all the men gone? Where have all the young men gone?
Yeah.
Well, the young girl picked them.
That can only mean one thing, that they died of a venereal infection, but...
Did you listen to what I just said? I said, the song says, where have all the flowers gone?
I'll sing. It goes like this, Robert. It's very pretty. 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hit it. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. You understand? Where have all... See? Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men... See what I mean?
No, I mean...
You slow it down and sing the song.
Well, I'm trying to cut to it. I'm just trying to get to it because it's really a rather dull... It's a beautiful song, but it's dull as living hell.
But I don't know what the song is. Gotta sing it.
All right, here. It goes like this.
It's a beautiful song, but it's dull as hell.
Yes. No, don't... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I know many of you like where is all the... Where did all of the...
Where'd all the flower gone?
Where did all the flower gone? F-L-O-U-R?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I don't know. Someone...
Not F-L-O-U-R. F-L-O-W-E-R.
That's what I thought. But he said, where did all the flower gone?
Will you sing it, please?
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and...
I gotta ask. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, what now?
Why do you gotta count everything down?
It is a... Phil, you're not being a professional singer.
Yeah, I'm saying you're not a professional singer. You don't know nothing about it.
All right, go ahead.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3. 2, 3. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flower gone? Where have all the flower... Hold on for a minute. Where did I know? Where did all the flower go? Long time...
Wait a minute. Wait.
Would you stop interrupting me?
What is where did all the flower go?
That's what it's called, to make more sense like that. The other way, who knows what it's about?
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I know it's an old song and everything.
What are you talking about? It's an easy song to understand. Where have all the flowers gone? They're making comparisons. It's an old folk song. It's about the flowers on the hill that the young girls pick, and it's about the young men that go off to war. Flowers and young men, war, and, you know, it's all...
Yes, so in other words, war is... Young women are compared to the ravages of war. And so, in other words, a war, something that maims, something that mutilates, something that destroys, and something that burns, is exactly the same thing as a young girl. My God, Phil.
I didn't write the song.
That would be same.
I don't know, bud. I gotta take a break. I gotta take a break.
You're out for the break. You don't have to take a break now. I want to find out something. Is it called Where Did All the Flower Go? Where Have All the Flower Gone? Where is all the flower gone? Or where is all the flowers gone?
It's called Where Did All the Flowers Go?
Can I sing it now?
Margaret, I've been waiting for you to sing it for 15 minutes.
No, no, don't make this about me now, Phil.
I started the hour out. Just sing it, will you?
All right, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Don't look at me like I'm some kind of a... Don't look at me like I'm an epileptic.
I'm not looking at you like that.
Well, you've got this look like you're waiting for me to pitch myself onto the floor so you can put a spoon in my mouth. God.
Okay, you ready?
1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all... Can I speed it up?
Go ahead.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Gone to young girls. That's it. Gone to young girls, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Then it says, where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
I get the part about when are you going to learn, but what are you going to learn about a flower?
What?
When I say, when will they ever learn?
What does that mean, Margaret?
What does what mean?
What does it mean when the young girls pick all the flowers, when will they ever learn?
Don't pick all the flowers or they'll be all gone.
Oh.
You know, you guys really would qualify. Have you, and I mean this sincerely, and I don't know if, have you thought about Goodwill Industries? Have you thought about doing a radio show for them?
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
So you're going to blow by my question?
Yeah, I am.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Goodwill Industries, they've done wonderful work with a lot of people.
So Dan Northcraft and I were talking about, because Margaret, you had made a reference to me looking at you like you have epilepsy, which I don't believe I was, but...
Well, you looked like you wanted to thrust your finger into my mouth and pull my tongue from my throat.
No. But I'll tell you, we were talking about it during the break, and I went to school with this couple of kids that had that. And this is back when they didn't have, when I say back, you know, I'll tell you what. You can really start to feel old when you start saying, wow, they didn't have that then. I thought they did. Because I figured I grew up in a pretty modern time. I mean, I figure I grew up in the 60s. They did have computers. They just didn't have personal computers. We had television. We had satellite television, although most people had regular over-the-air TV. But there was cable, and there was some form of satellite. There were mobile phones, but only, I don't know, not rich guys, but business guys had them, guys that really needed to stay in touch. You know?
What do you mean?
Well, they had mobile phones. It used to be weird to see a mobile phone. You'd see a car going down the street, and the antenna was always in the middle of the trunk. It was in the middle of the back of the car. You'd see this antenna. So you figured either it was a cop car or it was some rich guy. I don't know why I thought rich, but I always thought rich, with one of those fancy schmancy, what we used to call radio phones. And there was a period there where I think my dad had one, although my father was far from a rich man.
Well, your father was upper middle class.
Upper middle class.
Shut your...
Upper middle... You mean upper?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think my father was middle class. But nonetheless, I was upper middle class, but my dad was middle class. I had more money than my father. I'm kidding around.
Was that from your paper route?
Exactly. So, And you see these radio phones. So in the 60s, I figured stuff was modern. I was a kid in school. I was still in grade school. But I don't think they had the medicine that they have today to control epilepsy, because every now and again, we had one kid in our class, very nice kid. Nice kid, because I know I hung around with him. And if I hung around with you, you were a good guy. I'm kidding. I had no problem with the guy, you know. And I remember him playing sports with us and everything else. But a couple of times... And just a couple of times, he suddenly, like one time he was in front of the class. I don't know what was going on. I think he was either being chastised by the nun.
What's that mean, chastised by the nun? She's spanking him or something like that?
Why don't you shut up, man, so I can hear something for a change?
What?
Shut up so I hear him finish the story.
Good point, Robert. Thank you.
I don't know.
Anyway... All of a sudden, the kid falls over in front of the whole class, and I missed it. I saw him standing there, and the next second he was gone. He was on the floor, and they were attending to him. He'd had an epileptic fit. And then another time, he had the same thing happen to this kid out on the playground at school. So it was a disease, to be honest with you, or an ailment, a malady that was very, very misunderstood, if it was understood at all. Most people thought, like I did as a kid, that it had something to do with how, like, jacked up the person was. You know, it had nothing to do with anything other than, wow, you know, like they were weird or something.
You're kidding me.
No. I mean, I not that they were weird, but that their personality was kind of crackers, you know. It was terribly misinformed, and it was a bad thing for a kid, but what did I know? So... Anyway, make a long story short, there was a big public service educational campaign that I don't think really started until the 80s. And it finally addressed the public misconceptions about epilepsy. And it was a public service campaign. They had these advertisements saying, hey, you know, I have epilepsy. They were very famous people. And among them was a guy that I had I personally, you know, liked, because I liked basketball and I liked Bobby Jones, who played for the 76ers. And I had no idea Bobby Jones was an epileptic.
Bobby Jones, I remember seeing him.
But you remember Bobby Jones?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. He played Dr. J.
Yeah, he played with Dr. J on the Sixers. Yes, he did. Bobby Jones was maybe a little younger than Dr. J. Bobby Jones was about a year older than me. So, but I didn't have any idea that he was a epileptic. And when I heard that, I was, well, how can a guy possibly play professional basketball and have epilepsy? It must be something that obviously can be controlled with medicine, and it doesn't make you some kind of a lunatic. And I've had nothing but bad information on this my whole life. And unfortunately, like so many things in life, we only go out and get information on things when it directly affects us, when it is something that has a lot to do with how we, you know, live our lives day to day. Because there's so much else that we have to deal with, and I just didn't have all the... I never was prejudiced against people with epilepsy, but it was one of those things where you thought, if I'm hanging out with someone who has epilepsy, you better be ready, because at any second, they're going to pitch over and start choking on their tongue or something.
Well, I'm not choking on their tongue.
That's on account of when you have the epilepsy, you're going to eat your own tongue and stuff. A lot of times, they'll say you even try to gnaw on your own face.
They don't gnaw on their own faces.
Where did you hear that, bud?
That's what I heard.
Well, where did you hear that?
I don't know. A couple guys were talking about it one day, and then I think I read about it or something, but I heard a couple guys.
You didn't hear nobody talking about it, man. You made that stuff up.
No, I didn't.
Nobody gnaws on their own face. All right? That just doesn't happen. But the fact is, they had a big... And nowadays, you don't hear nothing about it. You don't hear nothing about it. You know that people have epilepsy. They treat it with medicine. They are able to control these. We don't call them fits anymore. They called them when I was a kid. They used to say, oh, he had an epileptic fit. Or my mom would say, oh, that poor boy, did he throw a fit? You know, that's what we mean. That's what that term means, by the way, folks, when you hear someone say throw a fit. It was just very misunderstood. And so now, of course, we call them seizures, and there you go.
Didn't you say that you had to go into a sleep clinic at one time?
Yeah, I did. I had to go to a sleep clinic. I went to the sleep clinic at UCLA because I had a period of time in my life I could not sleep, man. And I had bad insomnia. And I was waking up multiple times throughout the night. It was terrible. So my doctor wanted me to, he thought that maybe I was having seizures in my sleep and I didn't know it. That something was happening to me while I was asleep that was keeping me from getting REM sleep or keeping me from getting that good deep sleep. And so he wanted to know more about that. So I went over to the UCLA sleep clinic over there, which, by the way, UCLA, and this was back in the early 80s, and I don't know if I'm sure that it's changed now, because they have you go in, and here's what they do in a sleep, at least the way it was in the early 80s. They'd say, okay, Mr. Henry, how are you doing? And they tell you, you can't sleep the whole night. You cannot sleep. So I had to stay up all night so that you would fall off to sleep easily. And I go into this sleep clinic, and there is a guy at a, you know, obviously some kind of a readout, some type of machine that is going to read my electroencephalogram, which is EEG. Those are the brain waves. That is the electro impulse from the brain waves that can be registered on these sensors that get fed into... What are you looking at, bud?
Well, sounds like it's from outer space or something.
Take it easy, man.
What, are you afraid of it?
What do you mean it hooks you up on a brain wave?
Take it easy, man.
You gotta stick the wires into your brain?
No, they don't stick the wires in your brain. They tape them to your head.
How are you gonna read a brain wave that way?
It just does. I don't know how it does. Jeez, you see the look on his face?
You look like you were about... Bud, I swear to God, you look like you were about to crap 5 shades of this.
Ew.
Sorry.
What is that, tomato soup?
Yes.
Anyway,
I didn't have dinner.
Anyway, 5 shades of red.
That must mean like he has,
Never mind what it means. So anyway, now there comes the break. Well, you guys just... Anyway, I went into the sleep clinic, and they put my head, they wired it up, and I wasn't having seizures, and I went home. Thank you. That's the end of that story. We'll be back with more news. The Middle East has got a truce going on, man. We'll try to dig into that as best as we can, not take a whole lot of time on it, because, frankly, you can talk for hours and hours about that stuff in the Middle East. People won't know what you're talking about, and I've not met anybody yet that fully understands it, other than maybe one or two people, but they were people that don't listen to the radio. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Where are my glasses? Here they are. You know, I've taken to wearing these Dr. Dean Adele specials, you know.
Well, you should get your eyes checked properly.
I'm going to have my eyes checked properly, but in the interval, I'm using these Dr. Dean Adele, you know, right off the rack. What's the difference?
I just think you have to have your eyes checked properly.
You can get a Dr. Dean Adele.
Dr. Dean Adele. Isn't that the way Rush...
Yeah, that's Rush Limbaugh call him.
Gaza truce finally in effect. A ceasefire took hold on Thursday in and around Gaza after a week of cross-border violence between Israel and Palestinian militants that killed at least 160 people. Foreign Minister Mohammed Kamel Amir of Egypt, which brokered the ceasefire after marathon talks, announced the cessation of hostilities at a joint news conference in Cairo with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. I got to, just as a personal note, not a personal, just as an aside here, Hillary Clinton looks really tired, man. I don't know if anybody has noticed that, but when I see her on TV or I see her standing next to Obama, she looks beat to hell. I mean, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, and I don't mean that as an insult. I actually say it out of admiration. She looks like she's working her ass off. And, you know, I have to tell you, she's been all about the work, man. I don't hear her running around trying to make headlines, and I don't see any kind of a self-aggrandizing, grandstanding personality there. Secretary of State Clinton, Hillary Clinton, since she took that job, has been all about the job. That's what it seems like to me. And now, after how many years on the job? Going on 5 years. I think she said she's done after another year. She really looks like she's had the crap kicked out of her, man. She just looks really beat up. But she was on the plane from wherever the hell they were, Cambodia, or I forget where they were, Myanmar. How do you pronounce that?
It's called, I can't believe, you're a talk show host, you don't know the name of that town, or the name of that, where was he?
He was in a country. You don't know the name of it?
I do know the name of it. I didn't know if it was a town or a country.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he went to meet the prime minister of a town.
I don't know. The name of it, Phil, is Myanmar, I believe.
Uh-huh. You're not even sure.
Well, I'm surer than you are.
Myanmar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Myanmar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're just saying that to be contrary to me. I think it's Myanmar.
All right. In any event, she got dispatched from there to Egypt to take care of this burgeoning problem in the Middle East. And the reason why we're taking care of this burgeoning problem in the Middle East is twofold. Number one, lots and lots of oil. Number two, Israel. Israel is our ally. Israel is our friend. Israel is a democratic state. The rest of the Arab world is filled with despots, totalitarians, dictators, kings, and scum. It's run by terrorists. It's run by the warlords. And the whole place is strictly from hunger. And while the Arab people are people that deserve better, they're not getting better. They're being propagandized to death by the various factions, like in the Gaza. I'm sure that they have full freedom to say, you know what, I think Hamas is really running this thing right into the ground. I don't like them, and I wish we had a different form of leadership here in Gaza. I'm sure they're allowed to say that publicly and just with absolute and complete freedom. Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you think they do?
Because they're going to wind up hanging from a telephone pole, that's why.
How dare... Are you comparing the righteous and the...
Oh, Margaret, would you knock it off with the righteous this and righteous that?
The righteous solidarity. I have righteous solidarity.
Yeah, you got righteous solidarity with a toilet.
Did you hear what he... You're a witness. You heard what he said.
Yes, I heard it. It wasn't good, but...
Ow! Yeah. How's that feel? I got right to solidarity with this right hand.
Why don't you go to the toilet, then?
I'm going to the toilet. Where I can have some peace. Where I can at least talk to someone who understands me. Me.
One of your turds?
You dirty...
Hey! Hey, break it up. Break it up.
Yeah, see? You bet you thought you... Ow!
Man! But what is it with you?
I didn't do anything.
Yes, she was on her way into the bathroom to go solidarity with one of your turds. You must... You know what? You got a death wish, man. I'll tell you that.
Somebody gotta say it.
Someone doesn't have to say anything. She's got an opinion that you don't agree with. It doesn't mean you have to insult her.
Does it to me?
Yes, no, she called him a gargoyle and a thing, and called him a thing from the crypt and everything like that one time. Not a thing from a crypt, but she all... Everything like that.
All right, fine. Just then show that you're better than her, okay?
I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Great, good. In any event, Foreign Minister, so you know all about the Egyptians, and then we have Secretary of State Clinton. The UN Security Council urged Israel and Hamas to uphold a ceasefire while joining with U.S. President Barack Obama in praising Egypt's President Mohamed Morsi for mediating an end to the violence. The accord, a copy of which was obtained by AFP, calls on Israel to stop all hostilities in the land, sea, and air, including incursions, yada, 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 and that urges the Palestinian factions to end rocket attacks and all attacks along the border. Now, I don't know what the... I understand the point of view of the... Let's take Hamas out of this mix. Well, I guess you can't. Let's just say that the most legitimate complaint that's coming from Gaza is that they are blockaded. In other words, the movement in and out of Gaza is strictly controlled by the Israelis and by Egypt. Because one of the border crossings is into Egypt. Egypt doesn't want a refugee problem. Egypt does not want that. And as much as they may be in agreement with the ultimate aims of a Palestinian state, not necessarily Hamas, but as much as they may be in agreement with... people who say that Israel's really sitting on those people in Gaza and they can't breathe. Fact is, Egypt gets it, man. They don't want, you know, they don't want Palestinians pouring into Egypt any more than Israel wants them pouring into Israel. Why? Security for Israel. They don't need any more bus bombings. Thank you very much. And for people to say, well, you know, that's kind of, you're painting everybody as a terrorist. Well, I mean, come on, man. Not everybody's a terrorist. All it takes is one, as they say. Now, there was just a bus bombing here 2 days ago, just ahead of this ceasefire. Egypt, they just don't need the humanitarian crisis that's going to be caused. So, but I understand saying, you know, we lift the blockade so that there can be more funneling of commerce. There can be more commerce, the introduction of goods, humanitarian aid, and so forth that they need. Israel is saying, we don't want weapons going into Gaza. That's just all there is to it. And there's Hamas firing rockets. Now, you ask, how come Hamas is doing that? I don't know. I understand that life in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, as they call it, in Gaza City, sucks. I get that. I don't know what firing these rockets randomly into suburban civilian neighborhoods of Israel. I don't know what that's supposed to do other than cause Israel to fire back. So it's very clear to me, no matter what the situation in the Gaza Strip, it's very clear to me that Hamas is not making it any better, nor do they intend on making the humanitarian situation any better. They're looking to make it worse before it gets better. They want, it seems, more of their people to get killed as some kind of a propaganda tool or ploy to focus the world's attention on their problem. I mean, how can you argue against that? How do you say, well, the random firing of rockets is a legitimate defensive measure? They're getting their asses handed to them. Every time they do that, in 2008, 2009, the Israelis went in. They were about to do the same thing now. What the hell? And does Hamas really think they've got the weaponry to go toe-to-toe or even the weaponry to stand off Israel if they decide to, if Israel decided, like, you know, they just did, to launch their own attack to try to neutralize these rockets? Does Hamas think they've got the punching power to stop Israel from doing that? They must be out of their mind if they do, and of course they don't. They know they fire these rockets enough, there's bound to be a violent response, and Palestinians die. So, Hamas, you're full of crap. You always have been, you always will be, and nice try, you know. But the world is going to buy that bull crap because, hey, just like Margaret, you know, she's in solidarity with the women that are washing their clothes in a toilet.
You know, I just... May I say something?
Go ahead.
I love how you just make me out to be some kind of bourgeois picking the dirt out from between my toes. I don't know.
Yeah?
Well, you know, I'm not that stupid. I understand that this group you're talking about, whatever they're called, what are they, Hamas?
Yes, you should know.
Phil, what I know is solidarity.
Yeah, with the women that are washing their clothes in a toilet. Shut up. Ow! She hit me again.
She's hitting you with a paper.
Just shut your hole. Shut the hole under your nose and everything's going to be fine. We and others like me, me and the women that we, the group that I told you about last night, do you remember the group Friends?
Yes. Now, these are the nudists?
Yes, we do. And I don't want to hear anything from him or him.
Guys, just be quiet.
Now, you know that we do regular marches from the East Bay. And I know I'm not a resident of the East Bay. I'm a member of Friends, but I live in Southern California. But I do commute to the East Bay. We do regular marches nude. Then we do our yoga. And we have protested the ban on nudity. Now, we are also very much in solidarity. And we are co... I guess, how do you say it? We're co...
Co-ed?
Co-ed?
Shut up, bud.
We join with our sisters in Code Pink to be in solidarity with the ones over in Palestine. All right?
Margaret, you know, every time... Can I say something?
What?
Every time you go into this description... of your political point of view, you sound like Robert.
You, Ms. Ray, you do. You sound like someone who is now just learning how to speak after coming out of a coma.
Yeah.
What did he just say?
You sound like someone who's learning how to speak after coming out of a coma.
All of you, all three of you can rot. I hope you. I could only wish that the Nazis still existed and the three of you were Jews.
Oh, man.
Did you hear that one?
I'm taking a walk.
Yeah, she's probably going for that flask in her purse.
Maybe.
I wish the Nazis were still around and the three of you were Jews.
What's that mean?
Never mind. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this fantastic news. I tried to tell you about the whole thing there in the Middle East, but I think we boiled it all down. We boiled the American argument down pretty good. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't
the
have
Phil
a
Phil Henry Show.
Making a joke. And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Well, so we could get some kind of perspective on what we're talking about. Not that we're not getting good perspective here in our studio discussion, but I got to tell you, it sometimes just gets a little silly. Let's bring on the line here Don Berman, who is with Channel 19 News, and Don has been a part of our... I would say he's a part of our news contribution team when things are, you know, when things get to be in that breaking news stage. Although the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, if we can call it that, is not now so much breaking as it is cooling. Let's go into the Channel 19 newsroom right now with Don Berman. How are you doing, Don?
Well, I'm very, very good, and I'm grateful that you are giving me a call here to talk about this.
And this is, you've been reporting on the Palestinian and the Palestinian and the Israeli conflict for as long as you've been in news, huh?
Phil, I began in the late 1970s upon my graduation from Northwestern, where I went to the broadcast school. And it was at that time, by the way, Phil, that I was I first traveled to Lebanon and reported on the winding down of the civil war in Lebanon, which then wound back up again.
Boy, there was a story most people today don't even know anything about. I mean, there's a whole generation of people that know nothing of what Beirut was an absolute, it was just a war zone, wasn't it?
Well, Beirut was one of many cities in the Middle East in those days that was war-torn, and Lebanon itself was a ravaged nation. As you know, Phil, eventually Israel did go into Lebanon so that they could clean out some of the Hezbollah cells and the Hezbollah camps in southern Lebanon that were launching attacks on Israeli territory in the north. And in many ways, you have a similar situation in Gaza right now with Hamas. Hamas is no less an enemy of Israel. Hamas is no less intent on destroying the Israeli state and in killing Israeli citizens. So I can assure you, and if Ms. Gray is there, I certainly do appreciate Ms. Gray's point of view on this.
Yes, I'm here, Don, but I'm not ready to concede necessarily. I do think that you have expertise in this area, but I'm not ready to concede the argument. My question is very simply this. What are the people of Gaza to do? All right, you following me, right?
Yes, I'm following you.
What are the people of Gaza to do insofar as living like human beings while Israel is, and Phil said it very well, sitting on them?
Well, I don't think Israel, it's not a gratuitous state of affairs by Israel. Israel is attempting to defend its right to be a free state, and that is a secure state, while the Palestinian people are goaded on by these groups like Hamas, like Hezbollah, where the Palestinian people then believe they're in some kind of a freedom fight. Well, you know what I know, that isn't true. That hold on for a minute. Yeah?
Hey, don't get nervous. Hey, how you doing? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm very, very sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, huh? Yeah, look at that, huh?
Right, Mr. Martin, are you going to...
I didn't mean, I'm very, very sorry, and please give my apologies. Let me interrupt.
No. Hello.
Hi, it's Phil Hendry.
Hey, Mr. Henry, how you doing? I'm very, very sorry, and I apologize very, very much. I came away, and I know that you've been on the radio before here with Don. I just want to get an especially... The machine's over near your desk, you know?
I've asked you if you could take the machine away from my desk.
It's good here. It's good here. I like it here. It'd be no good if we took it away.
Yeah. So, Phil, if we have to deal with that tonight...
That espresso machine, I don't know how you...
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I work for a man... Well, I work for a man who...
You work for a man who what?
I work for a man who wears a ring on his...
He wears a ring on his pinky finger.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that that represents anything. But I am saying that there is a bit of caution that I think one has to... And anyway, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow at the beach house. And I'm so sorry. Hold on. No, it's all right. So, yeah, I'll see you at the beach house, Betty. Okay, Betty?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Betty. I'm talking. I'll see you at the beach house tomorrow. Okay, see you later, Miss Blunt.
Yeah, I'm very, very sorry. I'm just coming back a minute.
I'll see you at the beach. Okay, he's gone.
What was that beach house?
I've got to change the subject when the guy comes over to make the coffee. I'm talking about him wearing a pinky...
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, well, in the time that we have, let's discuss what we have to discuss.
Right, I just wanted you to know that the espresso machine here, this guy, Goomba, he's going to come over here with the oil in his hair. And, yeah, so that's great. Oh, I know, I've had it. It's delicious. I love Italian food. Yes, no, I love it. Oh, hi, Mr. Martin. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Right, just get it up. Yeah, no Italian food. I'm just talking to a friend of mine about. You know any good Italian places? Yeah, I do. I know a couple of good places. They don't have Nick's Fish Market anymore, but I got a couple of places. Okay, well, all right, he's gone.
So every time he walks over there, you got to change the subject. So let's just talk about what it is we want to talk about, okay?
All right, all right. I just wanted to let you know. You know.
Well, you don't have to call him a Goomba, all right?
Oh, would you quit being so politically correct, Margaret? Would you do me the favor, please?
I'm not trying to do anything other than to keep you from getting into trouble. Calling him a Goomba, calling him a guinea.
Look, I've been around these two-bit guineas my whole life, and let me tell you, I've been to the flower show. I would love to. I would absolutely love it. Yeah, sure. All right, I'll meet you there at 2, and I'll have my camera, and we'll take pictures of the daisies. Hi, how you doing? Real good, real good. So, he's gone now.
Yeah, well, now we're into our break.
You're into your what?
Into the break. Now we're into our top of the hour break.
Well, I've got to do the midnight news.
Midnight news?
Yeah. What? Don't talk to me like that's weird. We always do the midnight report.
Yeah, I'll bet you do, man.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. Yeah, I'll meet you there at the flower show. Yeah.
He's trying to make it so the other guy wouldn't know.
I understand, bud.
Phil Hendry.